As we join the prayer, I couldn't help but notice there's so much in the way of suffering, you know, in our world. And among us, we've heard it. I think this passage from Acts chapter 19 has a lot to teach us in regards to that and how we as Christians should view it. Paul is in Ephesus in this his third missionary journey, and it says in the picking up in the 11th verse, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs, the actual word here is might be sweatbands, better translated, and aprons. You know, Paul was a leather worker, and so as a leather worker, tent maker is another of his job descriptions and being working with leather. He would have worn an apron of sorts, the sweat would have, of which would have gotten on that as well. And so it says that the sweatbands and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And one day, now actually that one day shouldn't be there. The only little adjective or a particle that's in this is the word that we would translate as "but." So, but the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know Paul, but who are you?" The spirit says to these seven. Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped up on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of those scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Here ends the reading then of God's holy word for us today. Thanks be to God. Well, as Lenny spoke of radical reconstruction, so I'd just like to think a moment with you about what was happening here in Ephesus, on the one hand, contrasted with Paul's preaching and the miracles that were occurring as a result, even healing with things that had simply touched Paul. As the scripture reminds us, the last and least of the apostles. Not something that's replicated. You know, there's some TV evangelists that'll tell you, well, if you just send me some monetary support, I'll send you back a little hanky that I've prayed over, and, you know, you'll be, I don't know what, healed, somehow blessed. Well, you know, those are just in the same line as these seven sons of Sceva. The only thing they were doing was trying to make money. And you can see the result. They got beat by the demon-possessed man. Beat up to the point where they were naked and bleeding, as the scripture says. Running out of the house, I'm sure with fear. Now that is the result of, you know, just pursuing the spiritual things of God for monetary support. But we see here, though, an extraordinary good that's coming out of this evil situation in Ephesus, where people were believing that there could be a manipulation of spiritual things for either their own health and wealth, or for, as the sons of Sceva have found out, for trying to get self-empowerment. There is a spiritual warfare that was going on here in Ephesus. And there is a spiritual warfare that's going on among us today. It would be foolish not to be attuned and aware of this, wouldn't it? But out of evil, God can and does make extraordinarily good things to happen. Look at how these repented of their evil ways, and even to the point of burning these scrolls that were worth so much. You know, excavations in this area, in fact, all throughout the Roman Empire, have uncovered scrolls that some are on silver and gold, some are on stones, especially basalt and obsidian seems to be a stone that was valued for this kind of thing, are written either appeals for blessing on the one hand to various gods that they, you know, this is, Ephesus was the center of a great temple to Artemis. Artemis was the goddess who was supposed to, at least, support people when they hunted and growing crops for vegetation. She was the goddess of, for childbirth, also for virginity and for child rearing. And so there was almost a rabbit's foot industry of creating idols of Artemis that we'll see shortly in the next little passage. A riot broke out when they discovered these artisans who were creating these idols discovered that their financial support was dropping off radically because people were turning to Christ and were rejecting these pagan ways and their idols, because they were coming to know Jesus in a truly meaningful way. Unlike these seven sons of Sceva, who the Spirit had said of them, "Jesus I know, and I know Paul as well, but who are you?" No, the important thing is that we know whose we are, isn't it? And if we don't, if you don't know whose you are this morning, now is the time to put your hands, your body, mind, soul, and strength, your whole self, in the hands of the one who knows your name, at the very least. But do you know his name? That's a question for us all, isn't it? There's a fellow named Bill who was bragging all the time about the people that he knew and how many friends he had and how many powerful people. And he was bragging about this one day to his boss. And so the boss decided, well, I'm going to just fact check this guy. And so he said, well, I guess you know Tom Cruise. Bill said, sure, Tom and I are old friends. And so the boss asked him to prove it. So Bill and his boss flew out to Hollywood and drove over to Tom Cruise's house and knocked on the door. Tom came there and said, Bill, great to see you. You and your friend, come on in. Well, you might imagine his boss was a little bit set back. So he decided, he's still a little skeptical, and he decided, well, this has got to be wrong. And he tested him again. He said, well, I guess you know the president. And Bill says, of course, I sure do. Let's fly to Washington. So he flew out to Washington. Biden comes to the door. Bill, what a surprise. I was just on my way to a meeting, but come on in. We'll have some coffee. Now, Bill's boss is pretty shaken. So he says, okay, surely not the Pope. So he asks him, well, Bill, do you know the Pope? And Bill says, well, I sure do. Let's go over to Rome. We'll pay the Pope a visit. So they got there. Thousands of people are packed in that Vatican Square where they celebrate Mass. Bill says, well, there's too many people. Too many people here for the Pope to see me. So you wait right here, and I'll go and talk to the guards. I know them too. You know, the Swiss guards. I know them. They'll let me in. So Bill disappears in the crowd. And sure enough, in about half an hour, the Pope and Bill walk out on that balcony. When Bill got back to his boss, he finds that there's paramedics all around him who are treating him. And Bill asks, well, what happened? His boss says, I was doing fine. I was doing fine. Until you and the Pope walked out, and this guy next to me says, who's that on the balcony next to Bill? See, there's a difference between knowing about and knowing, truly knowing someone that I think this story sort of illustrates. And it may cause a heart attack. It certainly has caused the world to be changed. You know, earlier in this section, not in what I just read, but in a couple of verses before, it says in the 9th verse that Paul was preaching in the afternoons in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And this went on for 2 years. The interesting thing is that the word that's used in the Greek indicates that in the Western version of the text, the Latin version of the Bible's text, says that it was in the afternoon during hours which would have been the lunchtime, the sort of siesta break, if you want to call it that, of the Roman era. So Paul was preaching, this is to say, in his time off. And the people of Ephesus were flocking to hear him in their time off. I read somebody make the remark, I think it's so true, that nothing great is ever going to happen among believers unless they're willing to give of their time. To to hear and to preach the gospel, to be touched, this is to say, by the hand of God. Every revival that's ever happened has been because people were so touched, those miners coming out of the coal mines in Wales and Cornwall, whom Wesley preached to. Miners all around here who founded the churches of the Slate Belt. Some with the very stones that they were quarrying out. This church I served over across the highway in Chapman. All the graveyard stones are in slate that they had mined during their lives. Many of those you could barely make out, but they say, born in Cornwall, or born in Wales. They were revived by God because they had given up their time to be here, just like you are here on their day off, and to be touched by the hand of God, who gave His Son freely, that you and I might be saved. We find here in a nutshell the difference between living by magic and living by faith. Jesus can't be manipulated. Sort of like carrying a rabbit's foot or some other lucky charm, or by going around invoking his names like the sons of Sceva did, in an attempt to manipulate him and his will. You know, when we pray for the sick, and pray for the families of those who have died, when we pray for ourselves and those times in which we need grace, you know, it's not about, at the end of the day, isn't it, manipulating God into doing something that He doesn't want to do, like the pagans would, Artemis. It's more about conforming ourselves, like Jesus in that garden at the last prayed, not my will, Father, but thine be done. You know, I have shared before with you, I have epilepsy. And I think it not a curse, but a blessing, because it gives me a reason to share of God's grace for me, just like Paul shared when he was weak, he found then that he was strong because God's grace was all the greater seen in him. I don't like it. But I know that if I don't hide it, God can use it. And there's no point in hiding it. There's no point in hiding our weaknesses. If we do attempt to do so, then God can't use it. But if we make ourselves vulnerable enough to display it, then God can use us. It's the beginning of His use of us. The seven sons of Sceva, they tried simply to manipulate God. Magic. But that's not what faith is about, is it? In Romans, Paul writes that we are a new creation, he says in verse 8, 22, groaning as in the pains of childbirth for the new to come. Yes, we wish for that new creation already to have come. But it is by faith, not magic. Paul continues in this very same passage to say that we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons and daughters, for the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, for a healing from death, as we've heard prayed, for a healing from sickness with which we've struggled, perhaps throughout our whole lives, for the epilepsy that I've had for my whole life. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Because we know that in all things, God and in all things, the God who loves us is working His will for us. William Larkin comments, from the mouth of a demon, we learn the valuable lesson that Jesus will not allow His name to be reduced to a magical formula. Only those with a personal relationship with Christ and who invoke His name in humble faith are in the correct position to see God at work in this world. If we presume to have lordship over Jesus, nothing or worse will happen. But if we place ourselves in that proper place under the authority of the name that is above all names, to whom every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father, then, and only then, shall we see the great things He has done. Amen.